we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Friday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I have the privilege of pastoring Merritt Assembly of God. And this weekend will be the send-off for the month of April, one-third of the year going by the wayside there. And so hopefully you are on the right path. You're growing in the Lord. That's what we're going to be talking about today is the anointing that breaks the yoke. That's where we're going to be discussing in Isaiah chapter 10, verse number 27. But before we get there, I would like to say thank you to Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284. Again, that phone number is 321-759-3284. Bill Andriak at Creative AC Solutions. He travels the central part of the county here, and if you are having an issue, he can get you fixed up, and you will be able to stay cool this summer. So there's not been a whole lot of rain, and so, you know, we from the reports I've been listening to, they're talking about it being kind of a warm summer, and so you want to make sure that you get that AC up and running as quickly as possible. He does that for us at the church. He's done that for me, and he will do it for you, and so I encourage you to give him a call if you need help in that area. Maybe you just want to get it checked out. He can tell you everything looks good, and you'll be up and running. So give Bill a call. You'll be glad that you did. I want to let you know that this coming Sunday, we do not have Sunday night service. We're having a lunch following our morning service where we are going to be just having some fellowship with some of the people who've come to our church over the past 6 to 9 months to, you know, close to a year. Something new that we're doing just to give them an opportunity to know who the staff and the leadership at Merritt Assembly of God are, and just have a time of fellowship. We're having a great meal, and we're looking forward to having fellowship with those who are able to attend. So just wanted to keep you up to date on what's going on there. Also, I want to take this opportunity to invite you to Wednesday night service at 7 o'clock. We will be having a night of worship with a friend of mine, Greg Wynn. I grew up with him. He is a very talented musician and uses his gifts for the Lord. And so he is going to be with us on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. If you'd like to come be a part of that, there's no admission. We will be taking a love offering for him. And if you'd like to come hear a night of original music that glorifies Jesus, 165 North Grove Street, Wednesday night at 7 p.m. So let's get into the Word. We have been talking about the anointing. This is going to be the last broadcast that we do on this as far as commenting on this part of Isaiah, the 61st chapter, which says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me." I remember going to Haiti with a pastor from here in Cocoa. He was a former Marine drill sergeant, and said, "May the Lord anoint you as you preach the word, brother." And he said, "He has, and I will." And he brought the word. So we're thankful for the anointing. And we've talked about the anointing for kings, and we've talked about the anointings for priests. We've talked about the that Jesus went about anointed with the Holy Spirit and power to do good and to heal and deliver all those who are oppressed of the devil. We've been talking about that. By the way, those are the same assignments that you and I have. We're supposed to preach the good news. We're supposed to heal the sick. We're supposed to cast out demons. Those are things that you and I need. God not only anoints us with the Holy Spirit, but with that there comes a power and an authority, and we're very thankful for that. I'm glad I don't have to do it in my strength. I'm glad I can do it in His strength, because My strength fails at times, but his strength never fails. Today, I want to talk to you about a scripture that we hear talked about all of the time. Well, a lot of the time, not all the time, but a lot of the time. And that is the anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing breaks the yoke. So I'm going to read it to you from the book of Isaiah, chapter 10, verse number 27. This is when the people were under the yoke of the Assyrian king. And it says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil." Now, I've shared that with you. That's the New King James Version. The King James says the anointing breaks the yoke. And so I not only want to be delivered from the yoke, I want it to be demolished. I want it to be destroyed to where it can never have an impact on my life again. That's just the way that I am. If I'm delivered from a mess, I don't want to jump right back into that. Pigs do that. Children of God don't. Wow. Pigs return to their slop and they wallow around in it, and it doesn't matter if you wash them off, they're going to go right back and get in that mess all over again. Children of God are not supposed to do that. When we get pulled out of sin, when we get delivered from that, we're supposed to live differently, think differently, speak differently, act differently, be a unique creation that has never existed before in the history of mankind. That's what a new creation in God does. We don't go back to the same stuff that we've always done. That's called backsliding. I don't encourage that. In fact, this last week at the men's conference, I was sitting at a table and there were more people coming into the room than what they expected. And so they asked our table to scoot back some. And I said, well, I turned to the guys and I said, pardon me just a minute while we backslide. And, I was just doing that from a humorous standpoint. I'm not doing that from a philosophical standpoint. This scripture here, it talks about an anointing. And when you read it in the context of the anointing breaks the yoke, a lot of people think of that as an external thing. But when you look at that scripture, when you look at it in the original language, you will find that it is not an external act that is causing this yoke of destruction, this yoke of oppression, to be broken and devastated in a person's life, but rather it is because the person under that yoke has found a feeding trough that is causing him to grow stronger day after day after day. And as he continues to grow, it's not a grow fat, it is growing in strength. It is becoming immensely more powerful than you were before. That's what this is talking about. You see, they would position a yoke in such a way that you could still function underneath that yoke, but you just couldn't escape the yoke. It was a burden for the animals as they were carrying it around. There were some people that said, you know what, we'll break the yoke of this attack that's coming. And the prophet said, I'm sorry, just because you say that you want to see it broken doesn't going to make it. In fact, it's not going to cut it. In fact, if you break a yoke that you haven't been empowered and strengthened to be delivered and set free from, he said, sure, you broke a yoke of wood, but it's going to be replaced with a yoke of iron. What is the solution for getting set free from the yoke of oppression and destruction? It is consistently, steadily, constantly feeding at the banquet table of the Lord. It is feasting on the Word. It is feasting on fellowship with other believers. It is feasting yourself on obedience and saying, you know what? I feel the power of the Lord growing stronger inside of me, and the yoke begins to show signs of stress fractures. If I could tell you how I see that, as I'm walking in neighborhoods and driving in parking lots, I see parking lots that were once just pristine places of asphalt and the coating, the tar coating, the paver coating, and the stripes, and they looked so nice. But there were trees that were nearby, and the tree at that point in time was kind of young. But as the tree began to grow, hallelujah, but to be honest with you, I've never used this illustration before, but as the trees continued to take in the sun and take in the water, and their root system began to go down deep into the ground, those roots began to grow, not just the stuff above the ground. You see, people see what takes place above the ground. But if you and I are going to endure the storms of life, we've got to have a root structure that is just as impressive below the ground, below the surface, as it is above the surface. You see, there are a lot of trees that look really impressive on top of the ground, but their roots are shallow. And so when the storms come, if the storms are too intense, the tree gets to leaning one way too far under the gale force winds. And all of a sudden, the next thing you know is this massive but shallow root system gives way and the tree ends up on the ground. But the tree that I'm talking about is a tree that is like the psalmist writes about in Psalm 1. I'm turning over there. I want you to see what it says. I'm trying to turn with my left hand. That's not going so well. So let's try the right hand. So Psalm 1. I'm going to get there. There it is. Listen to what it says. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. You see, this tree that the righteous man is being talked about. There are certain things that he doesn't do. He doesn't feed on the counsel of the ungodly. If you want to see the yoke of oppression and the yoke of destruction, you need to make sure that you are walking in the counsel of God's word, which is settled forever in heaven and on earth. You need to examine the company that you keep and the people who are speaking into your life so that you can see that they are the mouthpiece and the oracles of God, that you're getting wisdom from heaven, not just wisdom from this world or wisdom from someone else, but wisdom that is going to break that yoke. I want my yoke destroyed. I want my kids' yokes destroyed. I want my church's yokes destroyed, and I want your yokes destroyed. And so you don't stand in the path of sinners, and you don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Do you realize that it doesn't take much skill at all to make fun of another person, to mock them, to ridicule them, to put them down so that you make yourself feel good? I'm here to tell you today that the way that you build yourself up in the kingdom is not the way that you build yourself up in the world. In the world, it is a backstabbing industry. It is go after this person because they have what you want. It is a scheme of coveting and backbiting and devouring. But you see, when you operate that way, you know, if you operate by the sword, if you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. Somebody will come up and they will take you out when you aren't looking as well. And so you and I, we need to realize that we're not here to make others feel bad so that we can feel good about ourselves. That's not called constructive criticism. Constructive criticism says, you know what? I love you so much that I want to build you up so that you can be everything that God can be. And so I want you to not just assume the mantle, if you will, of criticizing someone else. You need to be in relationship with them. Earn the right to speak into someone's life, okay? If you have been given the position to speak into someone's life, then you need to make sure that you're not negligent in the line of duty, that you go ahead and speak the words of life, but you and I are called to speak truth and love. So back to my parking lot, this tree that as it grows, it not only grows above the ground, but its roots go deeper. They penetrate farther. They have a much greater range of impact. And they also begin to grow in diameter. And something has got to give someplace. And as much as you might think that it would be easier for the ground underneath to give way because it is not as hard as the asphalt, I want you to know that underneath that soil on the bottom is a substantial amount of mass that's not going anyplace. And so the parking lot begins to crumble, and I want you to see that that's what God wants to do to your yoke. As you and I feast on the Word of God, as we say, you know what, I'm going to, rather than sitting in the seat of the scornful, I'm going to delight myself in the law of the Lord. I'm going to fall in love with God's Word. I am going to feast on it. I'm going to go to church because I want to, not because I have to. I am going to sit under the ministry. I am going to operate the way that God wants me to. I'm not just going to do that on Sunday morning, but I'm going to be thinking on the Word of God. Do you realize that the people in the Bible, they were supposed to be having discussions about the Word of God with their family members as they were traveling the road. They were walking, and they weren't just talking about, oh, look at that cloud over there. Look at this tree over here. They were talking about the Word of the Lord. They were meditating on it. They were feasting on it. They were sharing it with their kids and with their family members. When was the last time you availed yourself of the opportunity to nurture yourself spiritually when you weren't in a church service? I encourage you to do that more often. It says, as a result, he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. God wants you living not under the yoke of oppression and the yoke of destruction, but he wants you functioning under the yoke of Christ. You see, you weren't made to be a freelance operative. Under the yoke of oppression, the beasts of burden did the hard work. But when you and I take on the light yoke of Jesus, he has done all of the hard work for us. There's always a lead animal. When they were yoked in tandem, there was always one that was the lead. The other person or the other animal was there to provide the strength. And I want you to know that Jesus wants to go on your journey with you, but he wants to be the leader. See, when we insist on having it our way and being the leader ourselves, then we're going to end up, the scripture says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. And I want you to know that when I insist on having my way instead of God's way, that it doesn't go well, it doesn't fare well, it ends in destruction, it ends up in pain and misery. But when I say, you know what, I'm not going to be passive about this, I am going to be an active follower of Jesus Christ, but God, I want you to take the lead. Carrie Underwood had a song, and she said, "Jesus, take the wheel." Now, you know, I don't listen to country music, but I have heard that song. You know, there are too many of us in the body of Christ that are still insisting on us being the one in charge. I want you to know that I'm the pastor of Merit Assembly of God, but I don't get everything that I want because I've got a flesh nature that has to be dealt with the same way as everybody else. I want God to have his way. And so when we're looking at stuff and analyzing things, before I speak up, I ask myself, hey, do I have this opinion because of I'm Bob the pastor, or is this a Bob the person opinion? The Bob the person opinion will get me into trouble. It'll get me the yoke of oppression. It will get me the yoke of destruction. But whenever I'm walking along the same mission, fulfilling the same purpose that Jesus is pursuing, then I understand that we're going to get to the place and we're going to produce a fruitful harvest, an abundant harvest. And so I do want Jesus in charge, whether that means take the wheel or him being the pilot, whatever it might be. You know what? David said, let me be a doorkeeper in the house of God. I don't care about the titles. I just want to see God glorified. Okay? But I do want to see you set free. And you and I, we need to stop looking for external forces to do what can only be accomplished when we park ourselves and feast at the banquet table of the Lord. Okay? It's got to be that way. You can't expect somebody else to do what God created you to do. You know what? I can be hungry, but I can only be hungry for me. I can't be hungry for you. But when you reach that point where you say, you know what? This yoke has got to go. I want you to know it won't be a college class that will do it. It won't be a TV program that is going to do it. It's going to come from the Word of God. And today, I want you to look at your life and see if there are any yokes of oppression and yokes of destruction, yokes that are preventing you from operating in the freedom of fellowship with Jesus Christ like you are meant to, things that are hindering you from achieving your greatest potential. And then I want you to say, once you've identified that, say, God, what does your word have to say about it? I want to start feasting on that. Right now, you know, my wife and I are working diligently on a strategy for us to get set free from, you know, our most burdensome yoke. That's what we're working on. By the way, I have the mindset that if you're going to have to battle an army, battle the biggest guy first. When that giant falls, all the rest of them will run and hide in fear. That's what David did, and I kind of like that. Actually, if you're doing a lot of moving and things like that, I always take care of the biggest item first because it's not going to get any lighter, but my strength might begin to diminish. So if I use my strength when I'm the freshest, then I can deal with the other things as I get a little more fatigued. So I want to encourage you, find out what the Word of God says, and then don't just read it, implement it. Put it to use. There's one more concept about the anointing. There's a word, unction, that is used. The word in the New Testament is Christmas. It's Chrismas, Christmas, and it's translated unction, or the act of anointing. It means to smear. You know, you would be able to have evidence that there has been something put on there. You can see this with a piece of furniture when there has been a varnish or a lacquer that has been put on, or urethane. You can tell after you've done it that there's been something that has been put on top of the wood to protect it. But one of the things that is consistent with the concept of the unction or the act of anointing is that there is an implicit understanding that there's an urgency involved. I don't want to live under the devil's yoke any longer than I have to. There needs to be an urgency about getting set free. If you're a parent, if you're a grandparent, that you have lived under that yoke long enough, you need to get set free so your kids and your grandkids get to see what it looks like to live life free from the devil's yoke. I heard one of the men of my church use an acronym for busy, meaning buried under Satan's yoke. I don't want to be that. I want to see that yoke destroyed. I want to see it demolished, rendered useless and powerless to have any effect on me ever again. And I want to see that begin to take place now. The anointing of God, if you look in 1 John chapter 2, you will see that the anointing teaches you to remain in Christ. There is, when you are anointed by God, you need to understand that there is a faithfulness that is expected. There is a faithfulness that is expected. You need to be urgent about that. There's a lot of stuff that goes on in government that they quite frankly don't deal with until it's the very last minute. And then there's all sorts of panic, and then there's deal cutting and all of that sort of stuff. And you know what? I don't want to wait until there's a diagnosis, a health diagnosis that says, okay, you've got to do this because your body's already telling you that it's time to pay the price for the way that you've been living. You want to get out from underneath that yoke. If you've got body issues, if you've got substance issues, if you've got financial issues, if you've got spiritual issues, Jesus wants to set you free, but he wants to set you free today. Start feeding on the word. Start growing into that man of valor, or that woman of valor, that man of wisdom, that woman of wisdom. Start growing in that today, and you will see that the yoke will begin to feel the pressure. What would happen is this animal would grow stronger and stronger and stronger until pretty soon it would be bursting that yoke. It would be demolished because the yoke just wasn't strong enough to tether that animal any longer. Jesus wants to set you free. Want to remind you one more thing. We've got our 65th anniversary service coming up June 10th and 11th, Saturday night and Sunday morning. Put that on your calendar. Jerry Hill, J-E-R-I, whose husband was Steve Hill from the Brownsville Revival, where 130,000 or 150,000 people got saved, gave their hearts to Jesus in a five-year period of time. She's going to be ministering Saturday night and Sunday morning, and we're going to be seeing yokes destroyed. We're excited. We're seeing people get saved, and all sorts of great things are taking place. So we want to pray right now. God, I pray that not one person listening to this radio program would live this weekend under the oppression of the yoke of destruction that Satan would have for them. God, I pray that every man and woman would grow stronger as they feast upon your word, and Lord, they would exchange the yoke of the devil for your light and easy yoke of working with you. God bless you. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."